Okay, since I was able to get my hands on olive oil in 2021, I have been preaching the gospel. And if you don't know what olive oil is, it is an at-home infuser. It infuses everything. So whether you want to get a little bit more creative with your food or you like relaxing balms that you can make, this machine is here to help you. They're always expanding and they're always growing. You can save 10% by using the code DUTIABRUJA. And if gummies are something you have a difficult time with, they have a little mixer that is perfect. So check them out today, olivaoil.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tutia Bruja. I'm Bex Carlos. Happy International Women's Day to everyone who does not celebrate genocide, okay? And this goes out to all of the women facing the horrors of colonization, you know, because obviously the women in Palestine have been the face for 75 years of resistance and rage. And in spite of it all, they continue to keep going. I also want to talk about the women of Congo. I don't know if you have a large or deep history of the Congo, but let me tell you that the colonization by the Belgians was particularly brutal. And you can obviously see how the impacts of that affect the people to this day. There was a woman who was talking about her husband being murdered and the things that these people did to her, feeding her her dead husband's body parts, just horrific, right? And, you know, these are such ugly examples, but there's so much violence that comes from colonization. And I think for a lot of, you know, people of the global majority of the world who have been marginalized, you know, experience the most awful horrors to this day. And only by being aware can we make these things better. Can we learn? Can we stop letting things perpetuate, the violence perpetuate in the way that it does? There is something in the stars that is saying that there is change on the way. And I feel it. I see it. And today's guest, Lauren Ash Astro, as she's known across a lot of different platforms, she comes on and we talk a little bit about astrology, some of the very important aspects and how it impacts us. We talk about a little bit of the history of St. Louis because we're both from there respectively, and how a lot of the violence that has happened in St. Louis is because of urban planning and deciding which communities were valuable and which ones weren't. And it's wild to me that St. Louis is a place that, although it has so much food diversity, does not have much cultural diversity. But let's jump into it. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and do this.
I know. I was looking back at our emails and I was like, why did we try to schedule during Mercury Retro? But I'm so glad that we finally got a chance to sit down and talk. I'm really, really excited.
It's funny that you mentioned Mercury retrograde. I think that sometimes I'm like, I defy you stars, and I still try, but no, I think this last Mercury retrograde, things are just going to happen and you just need to understand that things are out of your control. And it's a humbling lesson, you know, from the stars.
Totally. And, you know, people are always like, why do we talk about Mercury retrograde so much? I'm like, because she's got hands, man. Like, the moment you underestimate Mercury retrograde, it'll just knock you upside the head. I feel like that was a big one for me too. So good to hear I wasn't suffering alone.
I think the fact that it was during Capricorn season was just a real slap to the face to everyone.
I was like productive. I'm trying to do stuff.
I felt that too, because it was like a lot of different things, projects and things that I had going on. It's like they were interfering with other projects and things that were going on. Oh my God, but how is it possible that I have all of these things going at once? And I really felt like I was spinning plates. And in addition to just my work life being so hectic, I feel like like my personal life had hands. I don't know. It was just it was a time of uncovering a lot of things and the rug being swept up from under me. But I think sometimes we need that, you know, it helps us become so much stronger. But I really want to know, what got you into astrology? Was there a moment that you can pinpoint in either recent life or even from like childhood you that was like, I want the moon to be my best friend?
It's actually funny you mentioned the moon because I am a Cancer. So like she and I have a relationship, obviously. I do have like an astrology origin story. When I was in sixth grade, I had a friend who had the same birthday as me. I was a year older, but we met in class because our teacher like said, like, find someone with your birthday month. And we found out we had the same birthday. And so that definitely interested me in astrology from the start. But then I met her older sister who was in high school. And this was like mid-2000s. So like very goth, very spooky, Evanescence-esque, like kind of chick. And I remember I was sleeping over at my friend's house and she asked us if we wanted our birth charts read. And she had this like notebook that she would hand draw them in because this is all like pre-internet tools. And she read my chart and it was so scary accurate. I remember being like, Sam, I think your sister is literally a witch. And then I was like, I need to learn about this. So it was mostly casual after that. But once I got into high school and college, especially when I had more free time, it was a lot more like deeper study.
This has been a lifelong thing for you.
Yeah. And I would definitely say like, you know, the years I spent in middle school, it was very much surface level, but I definitely think the interest was always there. And I have a 12th house stellium. So I think there's always been like a draw to the mystical and the occult for me.
I definitely relate to that. And it's interesting because I was talking to someone the other day who just has started on their like Bruja journey, their Bruji journey. And they were like, there's so much to learn. And I'm like, yeah, but that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, you never get bored because I would never go as far to say that I'm an astrologer because I'm not, but I do dabble and I just think it's so fascinating, you know? And you talking about how you kind of had this peak interest when someone's like older sister figured this out for you, that just kind of triggered a thought that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And I had a very close friend who we were born on the same day at the same hospital and I hadn't thought about that in a whole time. And I'm like, oh my God, we must have had the exact same natal chart because I think we were born within 15 minutes of each other.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I've recently met someone who has my opposite chart because I am a Leo sun, Gemini moon with a Sagittarius rising. And I met a Sagittarius sun with a Gemini moon and a Leo rising. And I'm like, it's so weird that sometimes we cross paths, you know, with people who are so much like us, but also at the same time, so much not like us. And how many people do you think, and this is such a weird question maybe, but like on average, just kind of walking around, how many people do you think that we have the exact same natal information as?
Definitely more than you think. And it's funny because I do have a friend who has the same big three as me. And we met at a board game meetup. We just met through something. And it wasn't till months later where we were close friends. And I was like, hey, let me read your chart. And I pull it up and it's Cancer sun, Gemini moon, Leo rising. And I was like, what the hell? But you know, I think it does really speak to the astrological energy at play. And, you know, if you have someone who has similar placements to you, it means that there's a shared experience or a shared energetic wavelength, or maybe even a shared perspective. Even if like your personal life colors that perspective, it's really easy to see where those people are coming from. And so I do think it's very common to kind of naturally gravitate. You know, my husband is an Aquarius and I would say most of his friends are also Aquariuses. It is interesting to see, like, especially what stage of life or where you meet those people, and then if they're similar or different placements. Like, where did you meet this person with opposite placements?
Tinder.
Now there's a story, right? So it's a little bit of like push-pull tension. Yeah.
I feel like I've come to realize about myself that I always enjoy a person that can keep up the bit. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of makes sense that someone with my opposite, even if not in the same style, I don't know. And Sagittariuses, I feel like, are so funny. Like they really do keep up the bit. But sometimes it's like, okay, you could stop now, you know? And so I don't know. It was just a very interesting experience. I feel like it's one of those things that like astrology plays such a huge part in dating. And I feel like we don't always think about that. I mean, I do because I'm a witch, but I feel like lately people have really been asking me about that. And I was just like, you know, let's get better feedback about this, because you mentioned Aquariuses, and it's funny. It doesn't surprise me that Valentine's Day is during Aquarius season, because Aquariuses are so full of love, but they're also just like the most aloof weirdos ever, you know? And it's funny that you mentioned your partner's an Aquarius, all of his friends are Aquariuses, because I feel like Aquariuses do flock together. They truly do.
Yep. It is really funny you mentioned that about Aquarius, because I find them very exciting. I think that's the Gemini moon thing too. You know, they're very deep thinkers. They're not afraid to shake things up a little. And what I like most about them, especially in the romance department, is like, they're going to give you what they know you need. Like, they don't care about what other people's view of your relationship is. Like, the true romance with them is getting to know someone's quirks and intricacies, kind of studying them like a little mad scientist. But I don't know, I find that very romantic. But when it comes to astrological synastry, yeah, it's interesting because most people only know their sun sign, but you can get really, really deep into like moon synastry. Your moon is your emotions. It's like the darker, more hidden side of you that maybe the average person doesn't get to see until they know you better. You've got Venus, which represents love, but also like warmth, pleasure, manifestation even. You know, there are some people who are always in a relationship. You know, those kind of people, they might have a well-positioned Venus. And then even things like Mercury and Mars can tell you how you like communicate with your partner or how you disagree and how you fight. So I think there's a lot that you can look at in two people's charts to see not just how compatible you are, but where the tension might arise, because there's always going to be something between two people, you know? So it's more about finding your strengths and weaknesses, I think.
There are certain signs that do just sort of flow together well. I think it's whenever I see a chart of two people that they're all sister sign energy and it's like they're coming from a similar place, but a little bit different. It is very interesting to me how those relationships can flow very well. There's a lot of things that can arise and that you have to be willing to work through. I know that you mentioned that sort of the interest of it came up in sixth grade. Is there a proper, you go and you can get like a certificate for astrology? Have you taken a course, or has it just been you like Gandalf with a bunch of books learning and absorbing?
So I definitely consider myself always a student, but I would say I started taking my studying like seriously in college because I have an English degree. So I was learning a lot of mythology already and a lot of history. And so it just kind of naturally brought that back up. And then I went to a university with a really good library with like a lot of old books. So after that, I mean, I've taken courses from other astrologers. I have not taken like a certification program because they are expensive and very intensive for good reason. I know Chris Brennan of the Astrology Podcast has a program that is like very well loved and received. But yeah, I've just been kind of always learning, a lot of reading books. I purchase a lot of like e-courses online from people, other creators, and just always try to keep myself from thinking that I know everything. I think astrology is like a big black hole. And the moment you're like, wow, I've really got this thing down, you know, someone else will say, I was reading this old Arabic text. And you're like, oh God, like what technique do I not know? Like I'm like pulling out Google with something as complex and with such a rich history, you know, both as a personal tool, but there are also branches of astrology that are, you know, very religiously focused. And I think just keeping a spirit of curiosity and an open mind is the most valuable thing you can do. And always be open to learn from your peers, whether that's just like taking a course or reading their book or going through a certification program.
I think that that's why I just dabble in astrology. I have a curiosity for it. It's so fascinating. There's constant information. Some people have very different perspectives of stuff. It's like, well, what system? There's like the house system and the tropical system. And is it the Placidus,
and then you've got like Vedic astrology, which is the original, you could say, and that's much more religious focus for some people. I have a family friend whose sister was married and they saw an astrologer who gave them like 6 dates over 2 years and was like, pick one of these days, you know, for a lucky marriage. And so it's still like a very rich cultural institution in some places, which is why I think whatever system you choose to like enter astrology through, you know, you don't have to like commit to that. You can always learn more and shift, because at the core of it, what you're learning is like the same, you know, the spirit of astrology. It's really about like the interpretation and how you cast a chart. And each system has its own explanation for why like it's valid. So it's really a personal preference.
What do you prefer to use?
I'm stuck on Placidus because that's the friend she read my chart in Placidus. And that was just like what I got stuck on. But I have had my Vedic chart read and I have had like my whole sign chart read. Not much changes in my chart with whole sign, but Vedic was very different. And it's really interesting because I felt like some of my career and like skill readings were more accurate in Vedic. But when they were talking about some family stuff, I was like, I don't know if that one relates. So it's interesting to see like where it resonates more to you. But, you know, the other thing about astrology is you could get a reading now that doesn't resonate and then live your life a little, you know, and then it might come to fruition because astrology really is about like life cycles. So it's always interesting to see what energy you're embodying most in your chart at a certain point in your life, for sure.
I have a friend, shout out Metzgley Wolf, who does like, it's a year ahead report and it's about like 100 and so pages. I had to do it again this year because last year it was just so accurate. And sometimes with different things like that, I'll look at it and I'll be like, okay, cool. You know, I'll go through it and then I'll just kind of set it aside. And, you know, later when I was sort of going through some really difficult life things, I was like looking at it. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it was just so spot on for different things. There was a day where something really chaotic just happened in my life. And I had looked at what the chart had said, you know, after the fact. And it was like, you're going to be very emotionally volatile this year based on like different life situations and whatever, whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
And, you know, you're right. Like, I think certain life cycles, unfortunately, have to play out the way that they have to play out. Because I feel like sometimes if it doesn't end, it just continues on. And people ask me this, they're like, well, I thought you relocated to Mexico like earlier this year. And I'm like, yeah, I did. Cause I had to get like some different health stuff like figured out. So much more affordable to get treatment for things here versus in the States and faster. And so I had like to go back to St. Louis like 6 months. And before I went, I asked this divination coin that I had, is it a good idea to go back? And it was like, no. And a lot of different things just happened that really kind of made me decide, I love St. Louis. You know, it's like you, it's home. It's this place that I do love. But I also feel like there's this big idea in my mind that's like, you can't heal in the place that you broke.
Mm, yeah.
So I'm kind of just like, I got to step away. And I don't know. I feel like St. Louis is a cool place, but the thing about it is there really isn't a whole lot of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a space where my culture feels like commodified, this is so subpar when I can go experience like the real thing, you know?
Totally. And you know, it's interesting that you talk about how like a city can affect you energetically, because, you know, I'm sure you've heard of astrocartography, where you basically take your birth chart and it gets laid out over a map of the world. There are some cities where a certain planetary line might run through, like Saturn or Pluto, where those cities like feel hostile or difficult for you, versus like Venus, like living on your Venus line is very auspicious. It makes you feel very like in tune with yourself, very lucky. So I'm so curious if maybe like some of your planetary lines are running through St. Louis that might make you also feel like, you know, maybe I need to leave for a bit and come back at a different point.
That was a big reason that I decided to move to Tequila, because I can't remember what lines it were, but it aligned and it said that like, if I'm looking to build something or create something successful, like this was the place to do it. And I was like, okay, like I really am open to that, because I don't know. I'm going to have to look through it, but I feel like St. Louis was that place where I could always figure out a way to fix it, but unexpected things would happen to me that would like fuck with my money situation like all the time. For perspective, were you ever familiar with this cafe called Piccioni's that was in the Del Mar Loop?
Yeah, I'd heard of it.
So it's now closed, RIP. But there was a time where I was working there and I was working at the also now defunct because everything in the Del Mar Loop is like closed. I was working at the Melting Pot and one of them is in the city limits and one of them is in the county limits. And
oh my God, your taxes.
That was like a whole thing. But the thing that on this particular day that sucked, because I was in the county, my plates had expired and I was going to update them that Friday. But I was just like in a weird financial spot. I had started the second job. They ticketed me.
Good Lord.
At the fucking lot while I was at work.
It's so crazy you say that because my husband and I literally were at the Del Mar Loop last week and got a ticket. And then he went to pay it online. Not in the online system. We have to mail a fucking check-in. Was it that parking lot behind or kind of near Fitz's?
Yes.
Yes. They did this. Oh, my. They must have someone there.
Yeah, they had to have because, and this was like a while back ago. This was circa 2019, but that makes me really bummed that they're still doing that.
Oh, yeah. A week ago. Yep. Got to make the money somehow.
Yeah. They, you know what? That makes me feel like they just have an officer that's driving through and those plates yep. are expired. Because also I was just like, sir, how are you punishing me when I'm at work? Like,
should I just not go to work and then get the money to fix the plates? Like
things like that in St. Louis would happen to me all of the time. Like another time I was in Soulard, and again, because it's Soulard, I was working and someone like had hit my car. The side mirror was like ripped off and I had to replace that. And I'm like,
oh
my God. St. Louis, why? Stuff like that all the time, you know? So it was just one of those things that's like, I don't know if St. Louis is the place I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny because St. Louis is such a haunted city.
It really is. People really forget that.
It's so haunted. And there's so many like tunnels underneath kind of in the Cherokee area. I would say it's not as haunted as Alton because Alton is a whole different ballpark of haunted.
Yes.
But it is very haunted and people forget that, especially like there was the whole part of St. Louis that was burnt down and then was like rebuilt. Like, and also it's a port city.
Yeah.
It's all shit.
People also forget, I don't know how many people know this, but I love to bring this up any chance I get. Busch Stadium and the old Busch Stadium is built on top of what used to be our Chinatown. Like St. Louis had a Chinatown the same way like San Francisco did, like a big thriving. And then the city just like let it fall into disrepair through like permit abuse, basically. No surprise there. And then condemned it all and bulldozed it and built Busch Stadium.
I did not know that, but that does surprise me because where the...
Isn't that nuts?
It is, but it also isn't because also like where the arch is, that black neighborhood was torn down. So
yep.
It's one of those things that unfortunately, and now you kind of see it like over off of Olive because there were so many different Asian-owned like small businesses and restaurants and shops. Like now with the Costco being built over there, there's a lot of those businesses that are just gone.
St. Louis has amazing Chinese food and a really diverse Chinese population here that like when I was in Chicago, I had to go to Chicago Chinatown to find. Whereas in St. Louis, I feel like you used to be able to find it on every corner.
Funny that you bring up Chinese food because my sister went to school in Springfield, Missouri, and they would ask her sometimes like, how do you want your food prepared? And there is a style of Chinese food where they tend to put more soy sauce on it when they fry it because it cooks in the flavor. So it's more flavorful when you eat it. And I'm like, well, holy shit, that makes so much sense because Chinese food that I eat in St. Louis is indescribable and cannot be compared by most places.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally have told Zach, I'm like, I think they just do something to the fried rice to make it genuinely like.
Yeah, you cannot get that. I feel like I always judge a place by how good their Chinese food, because the reality is the food is being made to cater to the taste buds of the people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's something that I feel like St. Louis gets really like not enough credit for is the food scene there is really good.
There's also like a really niche New Orleans food scene here, which is indescribably good. Like Sister City's Cajun is fantastic. There are a couple of places that do like a New Orleans inspired brunch. And I feel like it's really gotten big over the last couple of years too.
In the last like five or so, it's really been something that's been more up and coming. There's one out in North County that was just built, like in Florissant, that's really good. I love going to the city. Like, I lived in the city for a really long time, but right before I moved to Mexico, I was living in the county. And it is cool that there are a lot of cool restaurants that are popping up in the county, because just with, you know, the different socioeconomics of the city, like, you can still get like a good space in like Florissant or Ferguson or whatever. I don't know if you're familiar, but there is this Palestinian restaurant called Caslicks, and it's off of Lindbergh that's like phenomenal. And there's a couple of other ones in the city that I've heard are really good, but I feel like that one was really close, so I went there a lot. But yeah, the food scene, I think, in St. Louis is very underrated. There's just so much diversity, and I think that has to do with a lot of people, like, they move away, they decide they want to come back home to like raise a family, or, you know, maybe they just didn't really love the vibe of the city they went to, whatever. And it is really cool how when they come back, they bring with them so much different technique and diversity that then they can like bring into the scene.
And I really love that I'm seeing people move back and move to the city. Like, I'm happy that I'm watching these young couples decide, you know, not to just like go settle in St. Charles or something. Like, I feel like that has changed so much too, which it's really good. Great art scene here, great music, great food scene. I feel like if they just built that frickin' Metrolink expansion, like, it would really just open the whole city. I'm sorry, we were on here to talk about astrology and I'm about to get into like high speed rail and urban planning.
It's all relative. Well, it's all important, because I feel like St. Louis has done a lot of communities dirty. And I feel like the only way that you heal energetically, and I think that that is something that St. Louis does need to do, is like they need to like heal a lot of things energetically, because it's been fucked up. And I do think that we are seeing a time of more equity in the city, and there is a lot more effort, and people are starting to understand like a lot of the fucked up history that caused a lot of issues, and they want to figure out how they can do good. I think we're in a grand time of awakening, you know, and we're becoming very aware. And I feel like just on like a big level, we're aware of whatever government's doing. Mm-hmm. I think on a smaller level, like, we're also becoming aware. I don't know if you're familiar with like Washington Park Cemetery. I feel like lately I've had a lot more people like having it in the Discord of like, oh, you know, this is a cemetery that was basically destroyed by a lot of factors, systemic racism, and just like the way that urban planning kind of works out to benefit like certain groups. And It is very, I don't know, it's interesting to see that like so many people are just becoming more aware. Is there something about St. Louis recently that you've learned? Been one of those moments where it's like, yeah, I'm not surprised, but I'm still disappointed.
Yeah, I actually found out that Metrolink expansion, that every time I'm in the city and I'm like, why isn't there a train that connects? I found out that got voted on in 2016 and they voted it down. And I was like, it would be done right now. Like, it would be finished. And that was crazy to me because, you know, when I lived in Chicago, I paid the city of Chicago $100 a month for an unlimited, like, Metro Pass, basically, that let me take the bus and the train anywhere. Does St. Louis think they're too good for my money? Like, I would pay even more than that. Like, I would pay even more than that to be able to not drive around. I think that that's really, like, when I think about the city of St. Louis, I think about that. It's just a lot of short-sighted, selfish action that has just led to a lot of decay on top of itself. And, you know, it's funny because we're talking about this tipping point of coming back to community. And I think that that has a lot to do with like one of these big transits of this year. Pluto is going to enter Aquarius and it's going to settle in there for the final time. And it's going to be there for 20 years. And so for the last 15 years, we've had Pluto in Capricorn, which Pluto takes a sign and really puts it to its extreme in like a good way. And then it, you know, goes extreme in the wrong direction. So Pluto in Capricorn was kind of like the rise and fall of the girl boss, like very individualistic. What can I build? Structure and self-empire. And I think we're watching that crumble as Pluto is going to leave Capricorn for the last time in our lifetimes, like this year. So as it moves into Aquarius on January 20th, and then it settles in at like the very end of the year for the last time, we're going to see a lot more detaching from these systems and a lot more like coming back to community and people saying like, where can I make more impact? Like outside of the status quo, where can I go rogue and like just get something done? Why am I still trying to build something meaningful within a structure that is designed to destroy this from the start? And I think that that little spark of rebellion is really going to bring people back to a community and humanitarian and like collective focused type of lifestyle.
Ooh, I love that. And I'm already feel like I'm starting to see it, you know, like there's a lot of focus on creating community in person. And I think it's also probably like a response to the pandemic and the fact that we were so separated. And it's difficult, right? Because like the pandemic never stopped. We're still going through it, but people have decided that they're like being isolated is worse than the risk of like potentially going out there, because it is difficult, you know, like you can't really, you can build community from behind a computer screen, but it's much more difficult. And I think that's something we need to be aware of, is that like our internet connection could die at any moment, you know? That's like a big reality that I've been like thinking about, because it's like, well, what happens if it does, you know? Then it's like, then unfortunately, only the strongest, I guess, would survive, and the people who figure out ways to like still put their message out into the void. But that being said, I feel like you could also do that within community. It's like, oh, this person does this, this person does that, like, you know, because I think that like in a lot of ways the internet has made it so we can work with all different types of people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the importance on like creating community in different spaces is going to be important more than ever. So I don't know, something to think about.
Yeah. And I think like we're going to see a lot of that exploration with Jupiter in Gemini this year, because Jupiter is all about like knowledge, philosophy, information, higher learning, like a bit of spirituality, luck, expansion. And so with Jupiter in Gemini, it's going to be about exploring like new communication styles. A lot of like zines, a lot of streaming is going to be even bigger than before. Podcasting is going to blow up in a major way. Just different ways of creating insular communities where you go seek out the content of people you want to engage with rather than like relying on the algorithm to feed you something. So a lot of like newsletters, like Substacks. If you've thought about making your own website, definitely make your own website. Kind of taking back ownership of the content platform in the form of the creators, as opposed to letting the social media overlords curate your taste for you.
I think that's what I really enjoy about Aquarius, because it is the defining like, I know.
Mm. Yeah.
Versus I believe. So it's like, you know, I think we do need to sort of realize like, well, what do we know? What are we aware of, you know, and how can we figure out a way to like use that to build community, to do something different? Because I think a lot of us just realize that like what we've been doing maybe isn't the most beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's ways of, you know, trying something different, because if it is this time of like content and, you know, just creating different ways of getting your voice heard are going to be more important, then I think that that's, I don't know, it allows for different people to kind of like create in a way that feels more authentic to them.
Yeah. And I think that that's really what it's going to empower people to do. You know, when we're taking like ownership of the channels that we put the message out on, you know, you don't have to tailor your message for likes and shares. You can actually say something and, you know, develop a thought and flesh it out. The people who are interested in hearing you and engaging with you genuinely, as you kind of like, you know, we're all working through our own philosophies, they're the people who will seek that stuff out. And so it will really create a lot more of like a deeper connection, but also like diversity of thought is really what I'm hopeful for.
That makes sense for sure. Lauren, you know, this has been a really lovely conversation. Where can everyone find you and keep up with you?
So I am on social media on all channels at Lauren Ash Astro. I'm on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter. And I'm starting a Substack this year called Dream Weaving. So you can find me there as well. And I think that's it for now. I keep saying I'll restart my podcast, but we'll see.
Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you want to follow and support Lauren, All the information to do that is in the show notes. I really love her astrology takes. I follow her on TikTok and on Instagram, but she's much more active on TikTok. Her take on cancers specifically, and it's funny because she is one, so she can give that perspective that a cancer will hate you if you hurt their feelings forever. And I keep realizing that that's true. I had a really awful falling out with a guy I used to date who was a Cancer, and he bonded with, we're cool now, but like I had a falling out with a Pisces friend and they bonded. I think the shadiness of the water signs, you know, so they bonded over their hatred of me. And then later I talked to that friend about the situation. I was like, that is so fucked up that he hated me so much that he only became friends with you to like basically be like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, you know? And yeah, cancers are like that. All water signs, I think, are like that, actually. There's a lot more shadiness to them that hides behind their cool and chill, or so it seems, exterior. But I also have some water signs I truly love. So y'all can be great, a little shady though. And, you know, she also writes for Parade and a bunch of other different publications, so please check out her work. Additionally, I'm going to include, there is a company in Egypt that has been sending different menstrual products to Palestine because there is the blockade and aid is not getting in and it's having to be dropped in. So if you want to support companies that are making an impact to do good in the world, I'm going to help you do that. Additionally, I'm going to include the information for Sister Cities, which is one of the restaurants that we mentioned. It is co-woman owned, and that's important to me to support women-owned businesses, to support Black businesses, marginalized businesses. You know, I feel like the only way that we can grow and become better together is truly through financial support or the resources of having a large social media platform. You know, if you cannot donate funds, your time, or go there, a way to help put a big microphone out into the world and promote a business or somebody's work that you really care about is by sharing it. Thank you again for listening. Happy International Women's Day to everyone except for y'all bitches who support genocide. I support women's rights and sometimes their wrongs, but I do not support war crimes or genocide, and neither should you. Thank you for listening. Bye. Yeah.